all over the building. Can we just give God a hand clap of praise? Amen. Amen. Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's what you should do. When we say, can you give God a hand clap of praise, you should get up on your feet and honor the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the one that woke you up this morning, started you on your way. We bless God. Listen, children's church is open. Children's church is open. Youth group is open. Youth group is open. Let's give God a hand clap for these. Yeah. For the babies. Yeah. The future. We bless God. Yeah, we bless God. Beautiful young people. They want to be in church. Amen. Want to be in church. Had two saved this Bible study. Amen. Two gave their life to the Lord. Amen. The Bible said that he added to the church daily. Amen. Been a minute since we've seen them saved in Bible study. Amen. Hallelujah. It's been a rough week. Been a rough couple of weeks. Been a rough couple of months, if we're being all the way honest. But God is so good. Yesterday, we had a homegoing service here for a baby that I believe was about 36 years old. And she had babies, three babies, and a beautiful mother. And she left this world way too soon. God is good because he takes care of his own. We left the service yesterday, Miriam and I, and it is very seldom that I see, as emotional as my wife can be, it's very seldom that I see her cry at a homegoing service, and especially for someone that she doesn't know. But as I sat along the back of the sound booth and she stood there, I wiped tears from my eyes as Miriam stood there and just wept. She just cried and cried and cried. Because the lie is not true. It ain't always our time. And we say things like that to justify or to make sense or to play off the fact that we have an enemy. In fact, the Bible promises 70. And so when we leave here at 36 and 19 and 22, we just cannot believe that is the Lord. Not in extremely abnormal situations anyway. God kept us yesterday. He kept us yesterday. We got home and got a great gift. My beautiful sister, who y'all hear me preach about and talk about often, and some of our childhood escapades that have y'all in tears. The Lord blessed her to bless my family to come and see us today. Amen. Yesterday. And my beautiful sister is in the house today. Amen. Her awesome husband and my super dope nephew, amen. They're all in the house today, and we bless God for them, amen. hear me talk about one of the most spiritual women that I know. We went through some things, but God proved to be a keeper. Amen. Yesterday's situation, yesterday's homegoing, caused me to put a pause on the sermon series that we were going to start today called The Community. And I felt in my heart, in fact, after my sister and my son, got to hang out with my son and my grandchildren a little bit yesterday after everyone left and my niece. And I went back, though, to thinking about this beautiful young lady who was gone way too soon. In fact, I went to sleep at 10 o'clock because I did not want to sit up and think about what these babies was going through the night that they finally had to spend the night really understanding that mama will not be coming home. And I went to bed thinking, laying in the bed, just playing worship music, trying to make sense of some of this. And the sermon title popped in my head, It Is Still Up to Us. It is still up to us. Over the last month or so, there has been far more. Before I get started, let's bless God. Pastor Ray Simpson got a kidney. Amen. Yeah. 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 I'm going to tell you, and that was awesome because he called me at 12:30 at night and said, keep your brother lifted, man. I'm going to have a kidney tomorrow. Cincinnati just called, and I was like, well, he texted me, and I texted him back and said, okay, I'm praying. And then I went to bed, what do you mean you're getting a kidney? So I called him the next morning and to pray for their traveling mercies, and then I called. We ended up texting a little bit, and I called, and I said, so tell me what you mean. I said, you mean, you're going for a consultation? You know, he said, no, I'm going for the kidney, brother. God did a sudden thing, and they was on the highway, and if you've ever driven to Cincinnati, you know Cincinnati's roads ain't never done, and I heard a bit of road rage from Sister Dion. Amen. Ray was talking, and I heard, move, and I said, amen, go get that kidney, amen. So we bless God that he is doing well, amen, amen. Give you a bit of news, good news. But the reality is, over the last month, there has been far more death than I care to remember. I would like to be able to stand here and report to you that everyone that has passed away over the last couple of months, they passed away of an old age. I would love to stand here and report to you that everyone in the last couple of months, or even the last couple of years, if I'm being real, has passed away from just being old. And they had a life. They all had a life with and in Jesus. I would love to be able to stand here today and report to you that over the last couple of months and even years, everyone that has passed away was of an old age and they were saved for real and they died peacefully with their loved ones around, with someone that meant something to them holding their hand. That is what I would love to be able to stand here and tell you today. Unfortunately, I am not afforded the privilege of saying such things about the majority of the deaths that's happened in Lexington, Kentucky over these last few months and even years. And neither is any other pastor who has had to deal with death in any other city in this world. The Bible tells us that in 1 Peter 5:8, to be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Pastor Sonia says something that was awesome today that I have never seen, and I have preached this verse a million times. And she said, he walks around like, and she read the version that said, as a roaring lion. She says, he walks around as that, but he ain't. That blew my mind. I said, hold on a minute. And the reality is, many of us bow down to him because he presents himself as a lion. And what man do you know other than David has ever defeated the lion? It's kind of like if you ever been in trouble before, you know there's a difference between the state and the feds. The state will take them to trial. The feds, not so much. We don't play with them because they have a conviction rate that is high, above average. And it says that if you go to trial in the feds, that you'll probably go to prison. So we bow. We could probably have won the case, but we won't take it there because of the possibilities of what could happen if this thing goes wrong. It is the same way with the enemy. We don't even fight the enemy no more because of what might happen. I don't want to make Satan mad. The Amplified Bible makes this verse much more plain, but at the same time, even much more serious. The Amplified says, be sober. Watch these words. Well-balanced and self-disciplined. Be alert and cautious at all times. The enemy, that enemy of yours, you have an enemy. And then he names him, the devil. Prowls around like a roaring lion, fiercely hungry, seeking someone to devour. Now, this is powerful because the definition of the word, of the words well-balanced that I found, well-balanced means emotionally stable. And just as I have been sharing with you for over the last couple of months, the formula for dealing with life when it gets crazy. You remember the formula, don't worry about anything. The Bible says instead pray for everything, then tell God what you need, give a shout, and then walk into the peace that waits upon you. Just as we gave you the formula for when life gets crazy, it is important for you to know that the enemy and the kingdom of darkness has a strategy as well. Please understand that most people that are in the world or operating in continual sin are emotionally unstable. I sit and watch funeral after funeral where young people and old people have died to drug overdose, and you have to understand that they are emotionally unstable, emotionally unstable. I'm sometimes offended when people say things that they ought not say, like what was wrong with them? They know they had this and they know they had that going on. Why would they do drugs and they know they had responsibilities? Why would they do drugs and they know they had kids? And the reality is, a ghetto theologian by the name of Tupac once said, you ever seen a crackhead? That's eternal fire. In other words, the crackhead don't want to be a crackhead no more. The crackhead is now a crackhead because he has to be. He feels like he has to be. He doesn't necessarily want to get high anymore. It's just something that his body craves. And if you ain't got a serious strength, and if you don't have a relationship with the Holy Ghost, then I want you to understand that is a battle that you will lose and lose and lose again. The enemy would have you to believe that they were just people who liked to party a little too much. And that they were people who one day or night just went too far with it. Or the enemy would like you to think, and here's the popular rap, it was just a bad batch. You know, you understand what I'm saying to you? It had too much fentanyl in it. Yeah, that's what they say. That's what the enemy would have you to believe. And I just want to tell you this. We all have these reasons that have been fed to us by the enemy. But may I suggest to you that the pack could be 90% cut with fentanyl, but if the person don't do it, the fentanyl can't kill them. People are using drugs, especially our young people, because they are going through things. Stop with the judgment and get you a bag of understanding. Our young people are going through, people in life all over are going through things. We have a dreaded disease running around here that is now beginning to be common. You know why it's common? We believe that it's common because folk don't walk around with the mask no more. But yet and still, they're not telling you that COVID is still killing us. And in some instances, it is killing us slowly. People who had COVID a year ago, or some are still dealing with the after effects of it today. People are going through things. We went 2.5 years where we had to sit in the house with each other. Speak to nobody but each other. And you think we're supposed to just be all the way in our right minds. Kids who went from elementary school to middle school don't even know how to operate and function in class today because they didn't get the chance. Y'all don't hear me in here. We have an enemy. And we turn to things trying to find a way out. People are turning to these drugs and alcohol for some type of peace. They are looking for some type of comfort in the pain. And just like some of you in here might pop a prescription Lortab or Percocet just to ease that muscle pain or that neck pain, that back pain. People are taking the same meds and worse to ease that emotional pain. And the church and the church folk have been found guilty of screaming Jesus but not teaching Jesus. We throw Jesus at everything, but we don't throw the same amount of time as we throw the lip service. We are quick to say in the church, they need the Lord, but not as quick to take time out of our lives to talk the Lord with the people that we see suffering. When you see a person on drugs, you don't just see an addict. You see someone who is lost. You see someone who is suffering. And most times they've been suffering for so long that they have been conditioned by the suffering. And so now they are no longer, now the suffering is no longer suffering to them. It's just life. It's become the norm. And as a consequence, they operate and function in life from a broken place. And they deal with you and they deal with me and others from a place of brokenness. And the reason that is... And the reason that's a problem is because broken people break things and hurt people. And because they are suffering and because they are broken, they can't even trust nobody. And since they can't trust anyone, they cannot get the help that they need because they are guarded, paranoid, and too angry to listen. All because they're emotionally unstable. Please don't get this twisted. You can be winning and be unstable. Yeah. Don't you let that fool you, don't you? You can be rich and be unstable. We see it in Hollywood all the day long. Married today, divorced tomorrow, unstable. How many $20 million houses do you need? Unstable. How much jewelry can you wear? Unstable. And please don't get this twisted. I'm going to say it again. You can be winning and be unstable. And so there is a formula that the enemy operates in with most of us. And Jesus talks about this in the book of John, chapter 10, verse number 10. We find our Messiah saying, the thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they might have life and that they may have it more abundantly. The enemy, you see the formula, the enemy is stealing us away by the way of our mind, our mental health. He is messing with our mind. This is why ghettos and trailer parks produce so much crime, because poverty is depressing. Poverty is depressing, and the enemy knows that poverty is depressing, so he shows people who grew up as a child financially struggling, who grew up being made fun of because the clothes wasn't new nor were they brand name, and by the time the person is old enough to hustle, they most likely hustle, and they get a little something, and it becomes important to them because they've been broke all their life. I need you to have an understanding of what goes on, and if you try to steal it, or if you try to take it, or if you try to get it and don't pay it back, then they are prepared to kill you, because a loss in any fashion threatens them with a picture of who they used to be, the poor, the hungry, the without, the made fun of. And so they would rather take life than ever have that life again. And we have labeled them as monsters and horrible and malicious. And I'm not condoning any of it, but I am simply stating that before they became monsters and horrible and malicious, they were first emotionally unstable. And truth being told, you haven't always been okay either. And if we are really being honest, there's a whole lot of us in here today that are still emotionally unstable. That's why at a moment's notice, someone that you claim to love can get cussed out quick. That's why I let the wrong situation present itself at the right time, and there could be a breakdown in that holiness. And that's why at all times you have to be, as the Bible says, well-balanced or emotionally. You have to be emotionally stable. And all it takes is a split second of your emotions being out of balance, of your thinking being off, and it could negatively dictate the rest of your life. In fact, the brother who led me to Jesus found out that his daughter had been molested before. And before he thought, before he could get it together, before he could grab his thoughts, before he could get it together emotionally, he killed her mother for allowing it to happen. Lord, have mercy. And he died in a prison cell. He had never been to jail, was a God-fearing man, a deacon in his church, could quote and explain scripture in his sleep. But in an instant, in a moment, when what he loved more than anything had been violated, he lost himself and he lost his life. He became, for one split second, emotionally. Ooh, Lord, have mercy. I was talking yesterday to a young homeless man. And I asked him, I said, what's your story? We sat in my office and I asked him, what's your story? And he said, I was doing all right, Pastor. And then one night I was partying and I was feeling good. And someone offered me some crack. And I said, you know, I knew I had heard bad stuff about it, but I'm like, not just one time. He said, and I went ahead and I tried it. He said, and I've been out there, 31 years old. He said, I've been out there ever since. In an instant, in a moment, you can be, as Jesus said, stolen away. And what happens to you in the kidnapping can, as he said, kill you. If not physically, then mentally or emotionally. It can kill your dreams. It can kill your hopes. It will kill your positive outlook on life. It will kill your perception of God. It will kill your belief system in yourself. It will kill your ability to trust, kill your ability to love, kill your ability to be trusted. Jesus said that the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. So after he steals you away mentally and emotionally, he kills your hopes, your dreams, your beliefs, and then he destroys us. You ever seen Destiny Snatched? Sure you have. Just about everyone in here has sat in on a funeral where the person in the casket shouldn't have been in the casket at that time. But because they had been stolen and killed, they laid there destroyed. You ever see an old person who was a drug addict and a drunk who died beating his wife or who died alone because he was so mean or so nasty or for some other reason? Then you've seen someone who has been destroyed, and not just destroyed, but the destiny snatched. Fathers, let me tell you this so you hear me and understand me good. There is destiny connected to your call. There is destiny connected to your call. Not only are you supposed to be a man of God, not only are you supposed to be a community leader, not only are you supposed to be someone that folk look up to, watch this, you are supposed to train your young men. It is your destiny. It is a part of your destiny if you have a child. If you have a child, you are supposed to train. Fathers, hear me and hear me good. You are supposed to train your child. Ooh. And I can feel the depression begin to try to sink in right now as I said that statement, because all over the building, people begin to, men begin to remember or begin to think about how we might have just dropped the ball a little bit. Pastor, what do I do when my children are grown and I didn't set the best example and now they don't want to listen to me? What do I do? How do I complete my destiny concerning my children then? Keep on living right. Yeah. What'd you say, Pastor? I said, keep on living right. That's how you operate in your destiny, despite them not speaking to you, despite them not texting you back, despite them not coming to see you on a regular basis, despite when they look at you and you try to talk to them and you say something nice to them, you can see the hate rays coming from their eyes because they're thinking about a time when you wasn't there, or when you was there, you was there and messed up. And all I want to suggest to you, and all I want to encourage every man in the building, the way that you can continue to operate in destiny is keep on living right. Keep on showing them God. Keep on showing them God. They can say things like, yeah, what you don't know is how he was back then. And somebody's going to say, I promise you, somebody's going to say, but God. So somebody's going to say, but God on your behalf. There is destiny on your life, and I want you to understand me and hear me good, men of God. Anytime that you don't be what you're supposed to be to your children and you die and go away from here, your destiny was snatched. The enemy has a system, and once we realize that he has a system, we have to equip ourselves so that we don't become victims to his system. And the only way that we can equip ourselves is through Jesus. The way we stay enemy proof is by the word of God and the Holy Spirit. I want you to know we can't make it without him. And I'm not just talking to the men in here, I'm talking to everybody in the building. We cannot make it without him. The world needs to hear about Jesus. They can watch ESPN and learn the score themselves. The world needs to hear about Jesus. They can buy the cookbook and find the coupon and know where the sales is on their own. The world needs to know about Jesus. They are dying at an incredibly young rate because the world does not know about Jesus. John chapter 4. Verses 4 through 26 tells us of a story of Jesus and a woman who was emotionally unstable. And the Bible says, but he needed to go through Samaria. So he came to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near the plot of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Destiny. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied from his journey, sat thus by the well. It was about the sixth hour. Now, I want you to hear this, and I want you to hear this good. Jesus was weary. Why did you push that, Pastor? Jesus was weary, yet without sin. People of God, let me tell you this. You've got to be careful about when you get weary. Lord, have mercy. The enemy waits for you to get weary. That's why sleeping has to be a real thing. You have to have a sleep regimen. You have to have, you got to eat right. Let me go ahead and say that. You got to eat right. You got to get proper nutrients in your body, because the proper nutrients in your body make you think right. You understand? You got to be careful about getting weary, because the enemy understands that once you get weary, you get foolish. Once you get weary, you get vulnerable, and then you get potentially foolish. He was weary from his journey, sat thus by the well. It was about the sixth hour. Verse number 7, a woman from Samaria came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, give me a drink. For his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. Every now and again, God won't speak to you till your crew leave. Yeah. So God won't always talk to you when your friends is around. Now, it was his friends that left, but I just want to let you know that sometimes God won't talk to you till you get alone. Because Jesus understands that if he speaks to you while you're around people that ain't of him, they gonna try to persuade you against him. So every now and again, watch this. Stop crying every time somebody won't call you back. Stop crying sometimes when people won't text you back. Stop crying when people won't come to your party. Every now and again, God wants to get you alone so that he can say something to you. Verse number 9, the woman of Samaria said to him, how is it then you, being a Jew, ask a drink from me, a Samaritan woman? For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans. Jesus answered and said to her, if you knew the gift of God and who it is who says to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water. The woman said to him, sir, you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where then do you get that living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as well as his sons and his livestock? And Jesus answered and said to her, whoever drinks of this water will never thirst again. He says, whoever drinks of this water will thirst again, but whoever drinks of the water that I shall give them will never thirst again, but the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life. The woman said to him, sir, give me this water that I may not thirst nor come here to draw. And Jesus said to her, go call your husband. Come here. And the woman answered and said, I have no husband. And Jesus said to her, you have said well. I have no husband. For you have had five husbands, and the one you are with now is not your husband. In that you spoke truly. And the woman said to him, sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, and you Jews say that in Jerusalem is the place where one ought to worship. And Jesus said unto her, woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship him. God is spirit, and those that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And the woman said to him, I know that Messiah is coming, who is called Christ. When he comes, he will tell us all things. And Jesus said to her, I who speak to you am he. Lord, have mercy. Hey, Lord, have mercy. There are a few things that I want to give you from this. One, did you see her attitude in the beginning? Society and culture had taught her that she was not even good enough for a Jew to be speaking to her. So if the Jews wouldn't speak to her, do you really believe that she thought Jesus, the Son of God, would? But in all reality, this is an extraordinary woman. She was a Samaritan, a race of people that the Jews utterly despised as having no claim to their God. And she was an outcast and looked down upon by her own people. Anybody ever been there? It's one thing to be an outcast, but it's another thing to be looked down by your own people. Oh, Lord. The evidence is we see by the fact that, watch this, she came to the well alone to draw water from the community well. When during biblical times, drawing water and chatting at the well was a social high point of the woman's day. They'd all meet at the well, draw from the well, and conversate. However, this woman was ostracized and marked as immoral, an unmarried woman living openly with the sixth man after having five husbands. Yeah, y'all know how y'all do. Uh-huh. And women in here, all got quiet in here. Cause y'all want to say something like, "I can't believe they would talk about her," but they couldn't believe that you talked about them. So some of the people won't walk in the church because the marriage didn't work out. And it's not because the marriage didn't work out, but because what people going to say about the marriage not working. Y'all don't hear me in here. Some people won't walk in the church because they did used to get high. Some people won't walk in the church because they used to be a drunk. Some people won't walk in the church because they used to be a stripper. And they know that once they walk in the church, instead of people giving glory to God that they finally walked in the building, everybody's going to start. Pss, 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 pss. Yeah. Story of the woman at the well teaches us that God loves us in spite of our bankrupt selves. God values us enough to actively seek us, to welcome us to intimacy, and to rejoice in our worship. As a result of Jesus' conversation, only a person like the Samaritan woman, an outcast from her own people, could understand what this means. Can I just go ahead and tell you that everybody that's had it going on all their life don't really know how to honor God? Every now and again, people who's had it going on all their life, you know, every now and again, they can get a little stale in their worship. But somebody that's come from the gutter, somebody that comes from having nothing, somebody who used to be a and is now a saint, my God, you don't hear me in here. Somebody that's been in the miry clay and somehow, for some reason, God picked them up out of it. They know how to praise God. Ain't got no problem praising God with all the hell I've been through. I got no problem praising God with all the hell that he's brought me out. I don't know if I'm talking to anybody in here that's been through anything, but if you've been through something, you know how it feels to worship. You don't need a drum. You don't need a keyboard. You don't care if they sing out of tone on the strength of what I was in, but God lifted me up. I can give him a praise. He seeks us. He seeks us. Lord, have mercy. Hold on. What are you talking about? He seeks me. He seeks you. And watch this. And if I read scripture correctly, he seeks you in the midst of your mess. While we was yet still sinners, Christ died for us. He seeks you when folk won't call you back. He seeks you while folk is looking at you like you crazy. He seeks you when people is acting like you don't belong here. He seeks you. Lord, have mercy. Despite what you've been through, but even greater than that, he seeks you despite what you're going through. Yeah. When you've been through hell, you know what it means. You know what it feels like to be wanted. It's a good thing to be wanted, and it means something different for you to be cared for when no one else would. Now, watch this. And she knew what it felt like, and she couldn't even care for herself. She didn't even care anything for herself. She couldn't find anything of value in her life. And then all of a sudden, the Messiah comes along and tells her, "Give me something to drink." I just got a question for every lady in the building. What would you do if Jesus stepped on the scene of your life and said, "Give me something to drink"? What would you do if he stepped on the scene of your life and asked you for what he already had? You can't offer me Aquafina when I got Fiji. If he steps on the scene of your life, you understand that ain't nothing you got, my God, good enough for him. So the question should be, no, but will you give me something to drink? He found value in her, and that's called, watch this, grace. Every time somebody jumped in your inbox and said, "I'd love to see you at church," that was God's grace. Every time somebody texted you and said, where you been? Miss you. Hope to see you back Sunday," that was grace. When you were sitting in the room feeling sorry for yourself, on the brink of giving up, on the cusp of throwing in the towel, sometimes thoughts of suicide, not finding any worth in you, and somebody comes to you and says, but I'd love to see you in the Lord's house. That is grace. Oh, Lord, have mercy. But there's a few other valuable truths, and I'm done, that we can glean from this story. We learn that, watch this, one, only through Jesus can we obtain and receive eternal life. Yeah, yeah. Jesus answered, everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. He was talking about the water in the well. Can I just go ahead and bless a few single people in the house today? That every time that you pick a mate without God's input, you're going to pick a mate again. Y'all don't hear me in here. Psalms 127, verse number 1, it says, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain who build it. You understand what I'm saying to you? And until you put God in control, whatever it is that you're doing, you're going to have to do it again. Yeah, he says, everyone who drinks from this little old well right here, that does everything from your own understanding, you're going to have to do that again. You're going to be thirsty again. But whoever drinks from the water that I give them will never again thirst. Jesus said something, Lord, I hear you, Holy Ghost. Jesus said something in the scriptures. He says, I liken people to two things. He says, I liken them to the wise and the foolish. He says, I liken them to the wise and the foolish. He says, and those that hear my sayings, these sayings of mine, and they do them, he says, the storms of life will come and beat upon their house and it will try to destroy the house. I'm paraphrasing. But he says, the house will stand. He says, but then those that hear these sayings of mine and do not do them, he said, I liken to the foolish, and the storms will come and the winds of life will happen and they will beat against the house and the house will fall and great will be the fall. I got a question for everybody in the building. Are you wise or are you foolish? Now, you cannot like the word foolish and just say, I ain't foolish because you don't like the word foolish. But just because you don't like the word foolish don't make you not foolish. Come on, Bishop. I don't care how much you don't like the word. Are you the word? Are you foolish? Let me help you. Do you do what the word say do? Because if you do, then you wise. And if you don't, then you foolish. And I know, see, you got some cheaters in here because they saying stuff like, I do most of it, then you foolish. About 10 people dropped their head. Foolish. Why in the world could you know the truth but do something different? Why in the world would you know the answer but go wrong anyway? All right. Lord, have mercy. Second thing we find out about this, salvation comes only to those who confess and repent of their sin and, watch this, desire forgiveness. Before this immoral woman could embrace the Savior, she had to concede to the full burden of her sins. And I just want to bless somebody and say, I had to learn to confess my sins to God alone because I learned the hard way that not everybody can handle my human. Yeah, yeah. Not everybody gonna forgive me of my shortcomings. So I don't trust everybody with my mess no more because not everybody has the capacity to hold what it is that I'm gonna pour out. That's why Jesus is such, what a friend we have in Jesus, because you can talk to Jesus and Jesus ain't going to talk to nobody about it. And truth be told, when you talk, Jesus is the only one that you can talk to and actually get an answer to what it is that you're going through. Yeah, you got to repent. You don't get to just, just do the deed, whatever the deed is. And then just, you know what, I'm holy now. It's over with. Ain't no more. I'm holy. You ever notice that you get real holy after the sin? We was in Bible study last week. You ever notice how you go the wrong way, you purposefully sin, you willfully sin, you knew you was wrong, and then somebody call you and say, I need you to pray with me. And you don't even want to know what they need prayer for, because the first thing, I need you to pray for me. Your mind automatically go back to what you just did. Lord. And you don't, Lord, don't let them call for healing. I just need you to pray for my healing. I'm going into surgery tomorrow. Oh, Jesus. Jesus. You know what? I'm sick. We're going to call Pastor Sonia. Because I want you to have the most strong prayer. And Sonia, you know, she was sick 2 days ago, and the Lord healed her, so she's coming fresh off healing. That's who you want to pray. Because you don't want to pray for somebody's healing in surgery or in surgery tomorrow, and you know you ain't right with the Lord. What if you're the only person they called? What if you're the only person they called and you in mess? And they life depend on it. May I suggest that we have so many around us dying because we in mess. And their lives depended on it. And when we should have been witnessing, we was too far gone in things that we should not have been acquainted with. Thus not doing our jobs as Christians. What if they called when all hell was breaking loose in their life? You fresh off one. It's funny, and I bring it to you in a way of comedy sometimes, because I know that castor oil is never good. It's medicine is rough to take sometimes, but I want you to understand what you do when they call and you can't be there for them because of where you've been before. You have lacked in your responsibility to the kingdom. The kingdom has no need of people who can't work. So if you can't handle your flesh, Lord, have mercy, then the kingdom has no need of you. And you stop thinking that God is sending you people because you got a word for them. Some men God sends you, God didn't send you. Send them to you, and you struggling in your flesh, but you think he fine. Yeah, God gonna set you up like that. Can I, Pastor, am I telling the truth here? And can I bless single women in here today? This is for free. Hallelujah. I wanted to bless y'all today. Let me help y'all with some stuff, okay? Men know stuff about y'all. Mm-hmm. Men know that y'all are naturally nurturers. You like to fix things. Yeah, yeah. You like to see it be the best it can be. Especially mamas. We were talking yesterday at the house, and we was talking about being parents. It makes you vulnerable because you love them so. And I just said what my sister was being nice, but I just said what would nobody else. I said, I hate my kids, but I love them. But mamas especially. Now, women, period, love to fix things. They see the best in you. That's why y'all give so many of these bad guys a chance. Because you can see in them what they can't see in they self. Women is looking over at their mates, and y'all don't supposed to do that. Jesus, that's why I'm with you. You're lucky, because you know you ain't worth me, but I'm... So, help me, Lord. Men is in here uncomfortable. Listen... Women love to see, they love to see it put together. They love to see, that's why the house be so nice, you know, and smells good like potpourri and all that stuff. And the bathroom, just the little small things be just beautiful. And they don't miss nothing because they're nurturers, they're creators, they make things, right? And we know that. So on a Friday night after one too many, we can knock on your door and play this game. I'm just trying to get myself together. Would you pray with me? Just pray with me. 2:30 in the morning. They ain't answered your calls all week. Friday night, now they need prayer. Come on in here, let me pray for you. Come on in here, let me pray for you. I don't really want to pray on the couch. I was hoping we could pray in your room where there's more room. And the Holy Ghost tell you, he lied. Get him out of here. And this is what you do to the Holy Ghost. Now, he's a soul too. He's a soul too. Come on, we're going to pray. And then after the prayer, he says something like, I'm helping y'all. I'm telling you, if you're single, I'm helping you. I'm telling you. He say something like this. He say, you're the only one I could come to. Because I knew you. I knew you would have my back. That's why I'm going to leave her alone. Because you're the only one that, these other females, they wouldn't pray for me. And what you do? You go in church tomorrow. That's what he say. You go in church tomorrow. I think I'm going to stay over here and just ride with you. Is that cool? Am I talking to her, Deacon? Yeah. And then the next thing you know, it's morning. Ain't nothing holy happened after that. You heard he was going to church. You done prayed. This has got to be the one. The Lord has sent him to me on a Friday night, 2:38 in the morning. He ain't called you back all week and he drunk, but the Lord sent that to you. Only the Unity Worship Center. And then it's morning, and you don't feel no guilt because this was the Lord's doing. See the deception? Ain't no guilt because this was the Lord's doing. Come on, baby, you ready for church? Oh, my stomach. You know, my mama just called. Hey, let me. And you don't see him again until next Friday night. 2:32 in the morning, but this time he mean it. My wife said something to me. My wife that passed away said something to me that was powerful. I said, she put me out the house, and then she finally let me back. And I was feeling like a pimp. And she said, and I said, yeah, I'm back up in here. And she said, let you mess up again, and you'll be gone again. And I said, if that's the case, you know, you can't get rid of me, girl. I'm a Mac. And she said, you ain't no Mac. You only do what I allow. Can I say this to single women all over the building and those of and married women that ain't happy? He only doing what you allow. You ain't got no stop. Is he a dog or are you just dumb? Let's just be honest in the building today. I wrote it in a book. Shameless plug. You can buy the book. My failures qualify me. Third thing. We're done. I do got the book and the workbook though. Third thing, and we're done. Salvation comes only to those. Hold on, let me just say this. You should want to repent. Because until you repent, you are separated from God. So let me just tell a few of you that went and got married. If you was wrong before the marriage and then you got married, getting married don't take the sin away. You still got to repent. Amen. Yeah. You still got to. Me and Miriam got married. Saved from hell now. Baby, that was a close one. Then years of hell in our marriage. We trying to figure out. We are best friends. We love each other crazy. What in the world is going on here? What? Why am I doing the things that I do? Why do I act the way that I act? And she's just, you know, y'all know her, holy. And we're trying to figure it out. And we went to a service one day, and somebody said, let me tell you something. Getting married don't deliver you from lust. Ooh. Getting married don't make you nicer. It don't deliver you from nastiness. And we're sitting here and it hit us. We both looked at each other and we left the service early because we got our revelation. We went straight on, didn't even talk, just and got on the floor. Jesus, please forgive us. We repent before we were married. And don't be playing that game, single people talking about, well, we gonna get married. Well, don't till you do. Because you might not.
Oh, I'm Gary getting in trouble here, and I don't even know why.
And if you've been with your mate for a year or two, and they ain't asked you to marry him yet, and the milk is going out of the cow, and I ain't calling nobody a cow, my TG said, why buy the cow when the milk's for free?
My daughter looked at me and said, Miranda just said, huh? Am I lying though? If somebody gonna let me drive the car that's for sale every day, why would I buy it? I'm a rock on their insurance. Okay, let me. Third point, we out of here. I got a board meeting. Jesus, I got family in the city. Third, salvation only comes. Hold on. You got to repent. No. You got to say you sorry. How in the world do you demand an apology from a human but don't think you're supposed to apologize to your father? You got to say you're sorry. It is a blatant disrespect to sin against God. Know you sin against God and don't say you're sorry. Just keep on popping up at church like he didn't see it, like he didn't hear it. I say you're sorry. Some of you are trying to figure out why things is going crazy in your life and you're serious about God now because, baby, you got to repent. And for those of you that are dealing with sexual sins, you've got to break these soul ties. And if you don't know what that is, see me after church and I will get you the prayer to break these soul ties. Some of you walking around here healthy, ain't done nothing to be as unhealthy as you are. But if you look back over the history line of your sexual activity, you'll find sick people all down the line. Break them soul ties. Watch them knees feel better. Break them soul ties. Watch that back pain go away. Break them soul ties. Watch your stamina. Oh, Lord. Y'all ain't ready for all this. Listen, third, salvation comes to those that take hold of Jesus. In other words, salvation comes to those who really want him. Salvation comes to those that really want Jesus. And what I'm trying to say, this whole sermon today, the whole reason for this sermon today is it is still up to us. We've got to be saved so we can go save somebody. And as long as we keep playing church, they'll keep dying. As long as we keep playing church, they'll keep overdosing. As long as we keep playing church, they'll keep killing each other. As long as we keep playing church, kids is going to be trafficked. As long as we keep playing church, our daughters will go to college and lose a respect and a love for God. As long as we keep playing church, it is still and it will always be. And I want you to hear me good. It is still and it will always be up to us. It's not up to the drug dealer on the corner. It's not up to the gang member. It's not up, you understand what I'm saying? It's not up to Big Mama with all her street wisdom. It is up to us. If there's anybody in the building today that desires to give their life to Jesus, we offer you the invitation to come down. Listen, I ain't talking about, you know, you got saved because you had a good time in church that day and all your friends went down. I'm talking about you want to be saved for real. And for years we have offered salvation with not understanding what that really means. And so in other words, what are you going to be saved from? Some people say, well, saved from addiction and saved from alcoholism and saved from, but have you ever stopped to think about you could be saved, you need to be saved from the wrath of God. You need to be saved from the wrath of God. He talks about it all in the Bible, the wrath of God. It's all there, but you don't really watch those verses or see those verses because those don't promise you nothing. But the Bible promises a wrath to those who oppose him. The Bible promises the wrath of God to those who operate contrary to his word. If there's anybody in the building today who decides, who is this